You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Bockham as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hi, this is Lee Bockham, and you are on the Save the Marriage Podcast. Welcome. Thanks for being here. You know, one of the things that always amazes me is the fact that people put so much effort into saving a marriage, even when it feels like everything is against you. In some ways, what I feel like is that I watch people really reach out to try to save something that's so precious to them. In fact, what they're doing is that in that reach is something I want to talk about today. The idea of mindset is so important. So I want you to think of how you've reached into your marriage, how you've reached into the relationship, how you've reached into your own mind, reached into your own psyche, reached into your own understanding of the world, and probably have found that it's been challenged. You know, I don't know anyone that says, hey, I really am excited about this. I've got a marriage problem and I get to work on it. But I want you to think of the mindset, the shift that you can make and say, you know what, I'm going to take on this challenge. Not that you're going to be glad you're taking on the challenge, but the fact that there is something about that challenge that is sustaining and important, and that you're doing something that is, in some ways, countercultural. You know, that's one of the things I often am impressed with, is people are doing something that society says, oh, don't worry about it. Cast it away. Walk away. Don't worry about it. Something else will happen. Someone's better down the road. And what we miss is the countercultural idea of commitment, that relationships are important, that commitments are important, that making vows are important. And we begin to be a kind of a castaway society. You see it all around. And in some ways, working on your marriage is running against that castaway, that throwaway mentality. It's getting away from the idea that we're just a disposable relationship world and saying, you know what, this is important. Now, what I know about the midst of a marriage crisis is that you, as the person working on saving your marriage, may not even be sure if you want to save it. You may not be convinced that this is worth the effort and the pain, but you still go through with it. You may not be the one who's going, wow, you know, we had an outstanding marriage. That's why I want to save this. You may be saying, I'm saving this marriage because I made a commitment at one point. I made a commitment at a point when I was in love with this person and I want to be true to that commitment. I want to get back to that place of love. You may say, I want to do this because we have kids involved and it's important to give them a really good idea of what a strong relationship looks like and how a couple can go through tough times, how a person can go through tough times and come out on the other end. You may be simply saying, you know what, I still love this person. I know deep inside they love me, and that's why I choose to work on it. But in either case, you've reached into yourself. You've reached into the capacities of life. You've reached into the relationship, and you'll continue to do that. And that idea of the fact that you've reached into it is going to lead you to a mindset that I want to talk about today. The acronym I want to talk about is REACHED. Each of those letters, I want to kind of remind you of a shift in your life, a new place to be, a new way of operating that's going to move you towards how you can be more effective in saving your marriage and more effective in life. I mean, when you work on saving your marriage, it's kind of like a hologram. Any part of a hologram reflects all of the hologram, and it's kind of like that. Any way you work on your relationship, you'll find that it impacts everything in your life. That's what some people don't realize, that when people say, you know what, I'm not going to work on this relationship, I'm walking away, they probably do that a lot of other areas of life too. They probably also walk away from other commitments. When somebody says, I'm going to honor this commitment as long as I can and do what I can to save it. Now, that doesn't mean you'll necessarily be successful, but when you say, I'm going to honor and I'm going to work towards it, you probably are going to do that in the rest of your life. And so as we talk about this acronym REACHED, you're going to realize that the REACHED acronym fits your entire existence, that it fits everywhere in life, no matter where you look. When you start building these muscles as you're working on saving your marriage, you're going to find that they have impacts throughout your life. that your entire life improves as you continue to work on this. So let's jump in to those different pieces. And so let's start with R. R stands for responsible. To be responsible is not to take blame. We often seem to kind of confuse that. That's a dangerous place to be. I want you to think of responsible as a place where you say, what do I do now? Not what's already happened and what finger can I point at whom and who's to be blamed for this. Blame is not helpful. Blame keeps us stuck. So I want you to think about a place where you can say, I'm going to be responsible here. A number of years ago, I remember I had a client who came in and spent the first 3 or 4 weeks talking through every session about how the other person was to blame for all the problems in a relationship. Now, the other person wasn't there to defend herself. But in this case, this man was telling me all the things that his spouse had done that were just craziness and were reasons for him to let go. And each one, I would ask a question, where are you in that process? And he kept reflecting that he was the innocent bystander in this relationship. So we continued to push. And one day he came in and he said, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of looking back at where things have been. All I want to do is figure out what to do here. And I said, are you ready to save your marriage? Are you ready to step up and say, you know what? I'm going to quit pointing the finger and I'm going to say, what do I do now? At that moment, he made a shift to responsible. Not to blame. He didn't say, I've realized through our weeks of talking together that I am the bad guy and I have done everything wrong and my wife is an angel and it's all my fault. He did not say that. That was not what we were looking for. That was not what I wanted to hear from him. What I wanted to hear from him is, it's time for me to step into this and say, this is what I'm going to do. So he began to, with that sense of being responsible, to reach out to his wife, to reach out to connect. To reach out to work on that relationship. He looked at himself and began to see the places where perhaps he had let himself go a little bit, that he needed to step up and live his life in a more responsible way, not just in his marriage, but throughout his life. Instead of blaming other people at work, instead of blaming his genetics, instead of blaming his parents or his friends or his kids or anything else, he began to say, how do I need to step into a stronger sense of responsibility? How do I need to say, you know what? I've got what I've got. Things have happened that have happened. Now, how do I step into responsibility? So as I say responsible, that doesn't mean blame. I've said this so many times, but I'll say it again in case you haven't heard me say it before. This is the difference between standing in a burning house and saying, who started this fire? And standing in a burning house and saying, what do I need to do to get out of here and get everything out safely and everyone out safely? What do I need to do? Responsible is to say, what do I do from this point forward? Think of the word responsible. We often say, oh, that person's responsible for this problem. What we really mean is that person's to blame. Responsible is the ability to respond. I have the capacity, the ability to choose my response instead of just saying, you know, this is just going to happen. So as I say responsible, I'm suggesting to take on the ability to respond differently than you have. We all have tendencies to blame. We all have tendencies to look for how we're innocent. We all have an internal dialogue that's about how we've been done wrong. You know, think about how many country songs come out of that idea of somebody's done me wrong. Somebody's done me bad. And we run that through our head in so many ways. That internal dialogue is always looking for how did it get turned on me? How am I getting blamed for this when it's the other person's fault? Now, that internal dialogue is the piece that we're talking about here. The internal dialogue will flow to an external dialogue. So if you find yourself constantly saying, my spouse is to blame for this, my kids are to blame for this, I didn't have good role models with parents, my family is tearing us apart, my friends are bad influence, and you can go down the list. My job requires me to be there too many hours. Go on down that list. And then you stop and you say, my choice is to figure out what I can do from here, how I can step into a higher sense of responsibility. And here's the thing. I don't know you. I don't know anything about how you operate. I do know that we all can become more responsible for our lives simply by not allowing that conversation to keep going through our head where we're looking for how we're the victim. When we step into saying, how can I be different? We get away from saying, how was I done wrong? And when we take responsibility, options begin to open. Many options begin to open, including the next one. R is for responsible, E, empathic. Empathic is the capacity of understanding and hearing the other person's emotions without reading them through your own. In other words, you're looking for how the other person is feeling instead of how that other person is making you feel. Many times we get, especially in difficult times, into that place of always assessing how that other person is making us feel, not how that other person is feeling. So let's take a big common problem in marriage, and that's hurt. Hurt always comes out as anger. And so if we're not careful, instead of responding to the hurt, we respond to the anger. An empathic response is understanding that behind the hurt, the anger, is that hurt. And hurt, threat, all of those ways we feel fear, whether it's hurt, whether it's threat, some fear, something is making somebody feel fear, feel threat, feel hurt, and it comes out as anger. And if we're not careful, we'll read and respond to the anger without having an empathic response of saying, wow, that person's emotions are telling me that there's hurt behind there, that there's fear behind there, that there's threat behind there. So empathic is being able to step away from the immediate response that we have to an emotion and deciding that we're going to look for the hurt behind it. Now, let's tie that in a bit with responsible. If we say, you know what, I have the ability to respond differently. So when somebody gets angry with me, I have the choice of whether I'm going to respond to that anger or I'm going to choose to respond empathically to the hurt behind it. I'm going to begin to ask questions that what's happened behind that. And when that happens, it changes the equation because anger met with anger leads to more anger, and anger met with anger met with anger met with anger ends up feeling very resentful and fueling deep scars that are filled with infection and pain and disappointment and hurt. And yet all that ends up coming out is that anger. And so we keep responding to the anger, and then we stop one day and realize, I can respond differently because I choose to respond differently. Now, when we do that, suddenly the equation shifts in dramatic ways simply by saying, you know what, I can respond differently. I will choose to respond to the hurt. I'm going to be empathic. This is one of those emotional intelligence skills that we all can choose to develop more by looking at what's behind an emotion. What's behind the negative emotions of jealousy, of resentment, of anger, of any of the powerful emotions that are kind of the ones that drag us into a negative emotion? Because behind all of those are hurt. In the end, our capacity is to feel hurt or fear, or we can feel love or appreciation. Hurt, fear, love, appreciation, those are the splits that are in our brain. It's only two emotions that are truly there. Everything else is a spinoff of those two emotions. So an empathic person has the capacity of saying, you know, if there's love and appreciation here, we're all good. But when there is another negative emotion, I need to begin to look for the hurt. I need to begin to respond to that hurt, that pain, or it's going to fester. And when it festers, it turns to resentment, and resentment turns to disdain. And I can change that process by being responsible for how I respond. So being responsible, being empathic. The next one is being appreciative. Now, I don't mean appreciative like thanking someone for what they did, but creating a mindset of appreciation. Creating a mindset of appreciation rather than scarcity and threat. Just like we talked about a minute ago, that the other person may be coming out of a place of hurt when they respond with anger, we have to look at where we're coming from and where we draw from. And if we draw from scarcity, that there's not enough, that we're not going to get what we need. We're not going to get the love we need. We're not going to get the care we need. We're not going to get the resources we need. We will respond by grabbing at things. We'll respond by kind of a negative scarcity point. But appreciation changes that scale. By deciding that you're going to look for where you can appreciate more in life, you suddenly change your not just your mind, but your brain in this. You literally rewire your brain to begin to look more for the positive, for the appreciative, for the better. rather than always looking for what's lacking and what's not there. So one of the ways you can do that is by simply writing down some things that you appreciate each day. It's a very simple task of, in the morning, sitting down and writing 3 to 5 different things for which you are appreciative. And what that begins to do is it begins to create a path for you, for your brain to see things differently. Because as you're doing that each morning, your brain is beginning to look for what to appreciate. And then in the evening, you can review that and remind yourself of living into appreciation. There are lots of tools that teach us to be more appreciative, but a simple appreciation journal can begin to help you rewire your brain in ways that mean that you'll be looking for that. Our brain is either going to look for the good or the bad, for what we have or what we need. And by the way, need is a very generous term, right? Today, we have so much that we often confuse that need piece. And so I'm just suggesting that you begin to work on building your appreciative side if you haven't done that already. And if you have, to continue to nurture that, to continue to nurture an appreciative mindset that will allow you to keep on looking for the better in life. When I've worked with people who are anxious and depressed or depressed, one of the pieces we work on very carefully is how to build in that appreciation. Now, it's going to feel phony at first, but as you work on it and you build it into your daily life, you begin to see that there are always things for which we can be appreciative. No matter what's happened in our life, there are always things that we can point to and say, wow, I'm glad that person is in my life. I'm glad that event happened in my life. I'm glad I'm this way. I'm glad I have these things. I'm glad the world is this way. And as we're looking for those pieces, we begin to look harder for those pieces. We begin to build into our brain the filter of looking for that rather than for what's wrong. We can choose to look for what's right in the world or what's wrong in the world. All is up to our habit building. I will tell you this. If you do not take control of that, our brains generally look for what's wrong. We have to choose to be responsible for what's going on in our mind and build up looking for that appreciative piece. Okay, so we have responsible, empathic, appreciative, and now clear. One of the things I notice is that when there's a marriage crisis, people tend to be far less clear than they need to be with their spouse. They say things in kind of riddle fashion. They hint at things. They try to get the other person to be helpful to them. Just the other day, I received a question from a person that said that, you know, she had been in chronic pain and difficulties, and her spouse had been struggling through as a caregiver. And one day she said, well, you know, maybe you should just put me in a long-term care facility. Now, what she desperately wanted was for him to say, oh, no, I'm going to keep you here and I'm going to take care of you. But that's not what she did with any clarity. Instead, she spoke a word that he probably heard as an understanding that maybe it was time for something different. And so because she wasn't clear, she created an opening for him to go in a different direction. Would it have changed had she not said that? I don't know. I do know this. The outcome was that he began to look for placement and her feelings were crushed. But her feelings were crushed because she was not clear. She was trying to hint around and get a response that would make her feel better rather than in clarity. One of the things I notice is when there's a lack of clarity, there's also usually an associated selfishness and manipulation going on. That we can either be for the relationship and free of manipulation or clear, that would make us clear, or we can fall into the being more obtuse and more riddly and manipulative because we're trying to get a response from the other person without being direct. And by the way, that's going to be the last one. So when we're clear in our message, when we say, you know what, this relationship is incredibly important to me, I find it valuable and I want to keep working on it. You don't have to keep arguing with the other person. It doesn't have to be a but. You simply say, this is important to me. I'm not ready to call it quits. That's clarity. When you keep pushing for some response from the other person, some answer you want them to come up with, recognize that that lacks in clarity. So be clear in your message. Clear in message allows the process to continue in much more constructive ways. So you become more responsible and empathic and appreciative of the world around you and clear in your message and then healthy. This is when I often see that people neglect taking care of themselves. They become very unidimensional about what they're doing in their marriage. They're working to do, everything is aimed at trying to save their marriage, and they stop sleeping, they stop eating well, they stop exercising, they stop connecting with friends, they stop doing a lot of healthy behaviors because they become one-sided, unidimensional. Humans are multidimensional, even in the middle of a crisis. Even in the middle of a crisis, in fact, even more importantly, in the middle of a crisis, we are built to be multidimensional. We have to take care of ourselves. Our emotional life, our spiritual life, and our physical life all need to be healthy in order for us to have the resources we need to engage in healthy ways. Sometimes the first thing I do when somebody comes in my office and they've been working on a marriage is step back and say, let's look at how you're living the rest of your life. Let's get you exercising. Just walking for 15 minutes a day would be a good start. If you're already doing that, then upping it a little bit and maybe doing the 7-minute workout or some short-term exercise that's going to be healthy. What kind of foods are you eating? Because we tend to drop back to carbohydrates and some of the less helpful foods when we're under stress. So let's get that eating to a place where we're adding good fuel to our body so that we're able to move in healthy ways in our life. Are you connecting with friends? I'll ask them to re-engage with friends that are supportive and helpful. Are you attending to meditation or prayer or whatever your spiritual life is about? And then we begin to rebuild them into healthy people. And guess what happens? They become much more engaged in the world. There's much more capacity for them, much more energy for them to enter into the relationship in much more healthy ways. So you become responsible and empathic and then appreciative of the world around you and clear in your message and healthy in your body, mind, and spirit. And you become engaged in life. I am fundamentally of the belief that we are all built for meaning and purpose in our life. And when we do not work on those areas, when we stop looking for what's meaningful and purposeful in our lives, we begin to fall into trouble. We begin to get ourselves into bad places because we begin to have a hollow existence. We begin to chase pleasure. We become hedonistic in our approach to life because we want something to make us feel good rather than getting to how we can be engaged in life, how we can build other significant relationships, how we can look for hobbies that keep us engaged, how we can find meaningful places of volunteer work or even as work, you know, as your job, and find ways of engaging in deeper meaning and purpose. So how engaged are you in your life at this point? Has the relationship issue derailed you from being engaged in a life that gives you a sense of meaning and gives you a meaning, sense of purpose, gives you a sense of passion? One of the reasons that's so important is because part of the process of rebuilding a marriage is rebuilding the attraction you have for each other. And when we are disengaged, when we're unhealthy, when we're unclear, when we're not appreciative of the world, when we're not empathic, and when we're blaming the world, we're not attractive. Very few people can find somebody in that mindset to be attractive. You don't want to be around those kind of people, but somebody who is taking responsibility on for their life, is able to respond to others in empathic ways, is appreciative of the world around them, is clear in their messaging, has built a healthy life, is engaged in life, is suddenly very attractive and allows us to do the last thing, which is to be direct, to not beat around the bush, to be able to talk about what's important and why it's important. So as we're addressing our concerns, we're direct, not aggressive. Sometimes people hear that and they say, oh, so you want me to really be aiming at my spouse and really shooting the big things at him? No, be direct. When you say something, be direct about it. Don't beat around the bush. Be direct about it. When you're dealing with the rest of the world, be direct with the rest of the world. Find ways of aiming clearly at those around you in soft ways. Being direct doesn't have to mean arguing. It doesn't have to mean pounding your point home. It can just mean that you're saying what you mean, and then you mean what you say. So there you are, the pieces of changing your mindset and changing your life so that you are the instrument of saving, capable of saving your marriage, not just capable of it, but endowed with a capacity of connection that you haven't been engaged with in before. You be responsible to say, I'm not going to blame the world out there. You be empathetic, meaning you're going to look for the hurt behind the emotional response of people. You're going to be appreciative, meaning you're going to look around for what is feeding your life and what you are thankful for in your existence. You're going to be clear that when you say something, you're not trying to be manipulative. You're not trying to beat around the bush. You're not trying to be obtuse. You're clear. And then you're living a healthy life, dealing with your physical, emotional, and spiritual life. You're engaged in the world in meaningful, purposeful, and passionful ways, and that you're direct about your intention. If you do that, the capacity you have for saving your marriage goes up drastically. Each one is a multiplier effect. The more of those you can add in, the multiplier effect begins to build up, and you become much more in the capacity of saving your marriage. Okay, I hope that's been helpful for you. I hope that's been a way of giving you a framework for thinking about how you might be able to shift that mindset. Now, if you've found this useful, I would love it if you would help others know about this. I think you could say that this would be useful information for anyone anywhere in life. And one way you could do that is just to leave a review at iTunes if you listen through the podcast from iTunes or from Stitcher. Just leave a review on any of those aggregates. That's always helpful in getting attention. The other way is giving us a little Twitter love. All you have to do if you're on Twitter is to type into your browser savethemarriage.com/love. That's savethemarriage.com/love. It'll pre-populate your tweet. You just hit send, and it'll let people find us. It lets all your followers know where we are and that you love the podcast. You can always change the message, but it still has the link there. Otherwise, if you have some ideas that you would like to hear about, or maybe some response that you have to this, you can leave them in the comments section on the blog. That's at the savethemarriageblog.com. That's savethemarriageblog.com. You can leave comments below. You can also share on Facebook. You can share on Google+. There are lots of ways of sharing just below the podcast. It would be great for you to do. Let other people know about it and let us know what you think about this. If you have an idea of a podcast, you can email me at podcast@savethemarriage.com. That's podcast@savethemarriage.com. I wish you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.